I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we go behind closed doors to talk with two mothers about the challenge of raising adult children with Down syndrome. But first, it's time for our weekly feature, The Next Big Thing. It's our regular look at all that is hip and on the edge, or so we hope. Sometimes it's easy. They don't exactly keep it a secret when they're coming out with a new PlayStation. But what about the hard stuff, the stuff that changes every nanosecond, like the hottest ways of making money on the internet? We can't keep track of it all. So to help us, we are joined by Catherine Miskowski, a senior writer at the online magazine Salon.com. She joins us from member station KALW in San Francisco. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. So isn't it hard to keep track of all this stuff if you're not in the industry, if you're not thinking about it 24/7?
It can be, but mostly the things that you need to keep track of will kind of find you. People don't wake up in the morning and think, you know, I need hundreds of thousands of videos made by people I don't know. You know, I need YouTube. Instead, they get an email in their inbox from a friend that says, hey, you have to check out this video. And suddenly they've found their way to YouTube and they're finding things that they think are funny or amusing.
Okay, so today we want to talk about hot stuff on the internet and most particularly ways that you can make money on the internet. Now, you recently wrote a piece about money-earning sites. Now, what made you think of that?
Well, I mean, we all get these crazy emails about how to make money online, and I just wanted to see, you know, what are the new and interesting ways that people actually are making money online, you know, not these kind of spam emails. One way I found is that companies are starting to offer prizes for things that they would formerly hire people to try to figure out. So, for instance, there's this one site called Innocentive.com, where biologists and chemists go on and try to, you know, compete for $100,000, $1 million in these contests, essentially, where they, you know, try to do things like find a biomarker for, you know, marking the progression of Lou Gehrig's disease. So these really serious issues that companies are trying to solve, they'll, you know, sort of put this money out there, and then the whole world of talent can compete. Of course, not everyone can solve these kinds of problems. So there are other things that many more people can participate in. For instance, there's this site called iStockPhoto.com. You know, lots of people are kind of amateur photographers. And on this site, you can actually sell and get royalties for photographs of, you know, any kind of thing like flowers, children. So people put up their photographs there, kind of showcase them. And then if somebody decides to license their image, they get a cut. But of course, the licensing fees are much smaller. They're, you know, $1 or $2 a photo. So maybe you would make 20 cents. But still, that's pretty exciting for, you know, someone who's an amateur.
Well, tell me about Amazon's Mechanical Turk. What's that?
This site I found so fascinating, and I actually became, for my story, I became a mechanical Turker, or a Turker, as they call themselves. And what this site is Amazon has essentially created a marketplace where companies can ask people, anyone on the web, to do things for them, and then they get paid for doing these tasks. So the task that I did was categorizing products according to color. So I would be looking at my computer screen and say, like, a woman's pink flat shoe would show up. And then I would have to choose from a list of colors. And I would say, you know, this shoe is pink. And then I was paid 2 cents for doing that. The company wants to categorize the items so that when someone's searching for to buy a pink shoe, they'll find it. But this is the kind of task that, although it's very easy for a person to do it, it's not very easy for a computer to do it. It's actually kind of hard to automate.
It just seems like mind-numbingly boring. I'm sorry. I mean,
oh, I know. I mean, well, that's what's so funny about it, because I didn't last very long. I think I made $1.45 doing this, and I was talking on the phone to a friend while I was doing it. I mean, and I definitely had that question, like, why would anyone do this? I mean, and so I interviewed people who had done it, and they sort of saw it as a game, or maybe they were trapped at their computer at work anyways, and so they were sort of moonlighting on the side. And some of these people made, you know, $600, $340.
Well, you know, and I don't want to take this too seriously, but is there something exploitative about it?
Well, I did wonder about that, because this is a situation where the company you're working for doesn't even know who you are. You don't own what you produce, and none of the sort of labor laws apply to this work, because you're working as an independent contractor. And so some labor people I interviewed about this did see it as this sort of dystopic thing where the worker has to, you know, provide everything. And then the fees are so extraordinarily low because there's so many people. Surprisingly, there are so many people competing to do the work.
But in the spirit of full disclosure, you know, we've been doing a little bit of that here on this program. We've asked people to give us feedback, as many news organizations now do. We've asked people to comment on the stories.
And you're not paying them 2 cents either.
No, I'm giving them my best wishes and my eternal affection. So I guess I'm asking you, Catherine, is am I wrong?
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I mean, I think it shows that how much people want to participate or give their input. I don't think it's necessarily exploitative as long as people know what they're getting into.
Okay, so for full disclosure, Catherine, if you send me an email telling us how we could do the program better, for the record, I'm not exploiting you. You're just participating, right?
I'm just participating. You're not going to compensate me. I will have the greater glory of having contributed.
Exactly. Catherine Miskowski is a senior writer at Salon.com. She joined us from member station KALW in San Francisco. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.